Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Mangalog. I'm your host John, and this week's episode is going to be focused on Inio Asano's Dead Demons Destruction. Kind of a mouthful of a title, but if you remember, I was trying to say it last episode at the end when I announced it, and every time I try to pronounce it, I always get it a little messed up. I think I got the right amount of des this time. But anyways, I just wanted to start off by apologizing for the last episode. I realized my mouth was a little too close to the mic, so you got all my breathy noises and mouth sounds. And I don't think it made for like a completely pleasurable listening experience. So this time I kind of backed up away from the mic a little bit. I'm hoping the quality of the audio improves as a result. And also, I was a little stuffy last episode because of my allergies. It was just ridiculous. And also, my dog Daisy decided she wanted to be part of the podcast at some point in the middle. I would have retaken that whole audio, but I was like in the middle of a pretty good like monologue there, so I didn't want to have to re-record it, and then it comes off as, you know, inauthentic or scripted. And I was making some decent points. And honestly, I was so into it that I didn't even realize she was barking in the background. I'm so used to like zoning out my dog. Because when you live with dogs for like most of your life, you kind of get used to it. So apologies for that. I had an unintentional guest host that episode. She really had some things to say about The Promised Neverland, apparently. So yeah, this fifth episode is on Dead Demons Destruction. And every time I say that name, I gotta laugh. And it's written by Inio Asano, who I think his most popular works probably at this point are Solanin, which is like I believe it's two volumes in Japan, but it was released here by Viz as like one big omnibus, which is basically just the two volumes compiled together in a huge volume. So there's Solanin, and then there's Goodnight Poon Poon, which I believe was like 13 volumes in Japan, and we got it released here in like seven omnibuses or omnibi. I don't even know the plural of that, but so those are his two most popular, but he does have other series published in English here. I think most of them are by Viz. One of them, Nijikahara Holograph, is published by, oh man, I probably should have looked that up. I cannot remember. But anyways, and then there's another one, A Girl on the Shore, or A Girl by the Sea, which is also from a different publisher. Anyways, not to harp on those too much. If you're curious, you could definitely look those up, and maybe I'll have some episodes in the future on those. But yeah, this is his most recently available work published in English. It's currently ongoing. It's publishing in Japan right now. I think he might have worked on some one-shots in between. Manga artists have a tendency to like work on multiple things at a time. So I think he does have some like one-shot stuff or like shorter series that were published in Japan, at least while this was going on. It's actually been going since 2014. But yeah, most of Asano's works are slice of life series, and by slice of life, I mean it literally follows a slice of a day of a person's life. He usually has multiple characters in his series that he follows in kind of the circumstances that they're in. In this case, and in his most recent works like Solanin, Goodnight Poon Poon, and Dead Demons, Dead Destruction, he has a main cast that he focuses on. He bounces between specific characters, but they're more explicitly connected to each other. Whereas in like some of his older series, they wouldn't really, the characters probably never meet in the manga. They just happen to like pass each other by on the streets, kind of like passing the baton sort of thing. And then the next chapter focuses on the character that they just passed on the street. Like it's kind of like that. But this dynamic's a little different. We focus on mainly two, I guess, high school age girls. I should know their names. I know one's name's Anton or Anfon. Okay, here we go. So we have Koyama Karude, who is the girl you see on the first volume of the manga with the glasses. And on the second volume, the English volume, you'll see a picture of Nakagawa Oran, who I think Karude calls Anfon or Anton in the manga. They always have these like pet names for each other, which makes things really confusing when you're trying to remember their names. I noticed that a lot in a lot of manga. But yeah, Oran is the drooly looking girl on the second cover. And if you couldn't tell by the way she looks, she's very eccentric, but I'll get into that later. So it follows these two girls in high school, and this is considered a slice of life like Asano's previous works, but this also has like more of a sci-fi focus, but not really. So this takes place 3 years after a humongous spaceship appeared in Tokyo, And it's just kind of chill. It's been chilling in the sky. Hasn't really been doing anything. But like Japan freaks out and they like declare war against this giant spaceship, basically. It almost seems like an excuse to just like get like fancy guns and like fund a military program to destroy this ship that's really not doing much. Like occasionally it'll send out mini ships that'll fly around. But the destruction and the casualties that are caused as a result of these ships is actually mostly due to the military shooting down the ships, and then they fly into something and explode, and then some people die as a result. The casualties have been pretty limited, but for a place like Japan, which is relatively, typically it's pretty peaceful, so, you know, people are freaking out, and this is very televised, as it would be if a giant mothership appeared in the middle of your city, just floating in the sky. It just kind of looms over the sky, but it's really, it's weird. The manga focuses on this, but also doesn't focus on this. So it really just follows these girls. They just continue living their lives, worrying about exams, and Karode, she has some, you know, her relationship with her mother is kind of interesting. It's not totally cool, but, you know, they kind of coexist with each other. It seems, I don't know. This was the details from the first volume, which I'm currently on the third, because that's what's available in English. The third volume just came out this month. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, there are 7 volumes currently available in Japan. And again, this is ongoing. So there are multiple chapters published. And I think this is Big Comic Spirits magazine in Japan that haven't been compiled into volume format. Yeah, so it just follows these girls, and they're just living their everyday life, Karode and Oran, and then a couple other girls from their class just engaging in shenanigans. Oran is the super, like, energetic. Genki is, like, the terminology that I would use in this sense, which is, like, a trope of the Genki girl. It's usually the really excitable, really just, like, over-the-top, usually a girl character, and that just describes her perfectly because she is ridiculous. She spiels, like, this just nonsense most of the time, but she's actually really intelligent, and her brother is another character that you meet later, and he's also, I mean, he's probably one of those characters you either are going to hate or love, but he's also just as eccentric. The whole family's pretty weird, but yeah, it's so there's a bit of comedy in there, but it's mostly just, I guess, a character study. It's not really focused on the aliens being in Japan. Like, they'll tell, you know, you'll get hints of it or like stuff in the background, like, oh, total casualties today. You'll see like television programs that are talking about the aliens and the military and so on and so forth. But really, it's just these kids just talking to each other, just being bored. They're growing up, experiencing life while this relatively harmless mothership is looming in the air. That's how kind of a lot of Asano's stories are. He has a setup, and then, you know, he doesn't necessarily focus on that setup. It's mostly a character study. It's mostly a drama. It's not so much plot driven in most of his stories, which some people like, some people dislike. I personally love these kind of stories. I love when mangaka focus on the characters and their stories. I prefer a character driven story over a plot driven story, because, you know, you could have a very cool setup a la Sword Art Online, but then if you have crappy characters, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's at least for me, it's boring. Like, I want to follow characters that are interesting. They don't necessarily have to be likable. They just have to be interesting. And Asano does really good with dialogue and making these characters seem real, even when they're over the top, like Oran. Like, Oran, sometimes she puts on a front, like she'll be over the top, but then she's actually struggling with something inside, which you explore later, like in volume 3, when some stuff goes down. These characters aren't just like tropes. They're not just walking tropes. I mean, they are very like cutesy, moes, the terminology that is usually thrown around just basically means like the epitome of cuteness. They make these like really dumb cutesy faces. Like, you see Oran, she's drooling. It's just supposed to be like this cute thing, not necessarily like a gross thing. It's just, despite the fact that they're presented in like these, in this very moe fashion, these characters aren't just like there for nothing. There's a reason they're there. They're struggling with real issues. Some of it's not as extreme as some of the examples you'll see in some of his other series, like Goodnight Poon Poon, which was a very twisted, dark, depressing tale. In this case, it's a lot more lighthearted than his previous works, but there is some stuff looming in the background, which I hope he explores later. I feel like this is going to be much longer than Goodnight Poon Poon, which was his longest work to date. He kind of alluded to it in interviews that he doesn't even care the sense of being like the rest of his life's work. And he might work on smaller projects in between, but it seems like Dead Demons Destruction is probably going to be what he's going to be working on for a while. And he's relatively young for a mangaka. So he's got plenty of time to flesh out this story. And I'm really curious to see where it goes. It hasn't really explored the aliens so much yet. I feel like it's leaning into that. I haven't finished volume 3, but again, that doesn't really seem to be the focus. That's kind of just like the backdrop. But really, it's mainly about these characters. And there's not much to spoil. There are some major events that, like, one of them happens in the beginning of volume 3. Not to, like, I really don't like to make you, like, anticipate things. I probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe I'll edit that out. But again, it's almost like a life goes on. You see how these characters deal with certain things. But for the most part, it's just, like, almost as if nothing's really has changed around them. You know, you'll have some characters that are kind of like, well, what's the point? You know, we could die tomorrow, you know, because this ship maybe one day does decide to attack us back and just destroy everyone, you know? So those kind of ideas are looming in the background. I don't know if Asano will execute on those ideas, but I've read all of his works that are legally available in English. And I have faith that he's going to do something interesting with this setup. 3 volumes in, I'm loving the characters. Like, it's just a fun, lighthearted romp. But it's not, like, just lighthearted where, like, nothing matters. Like, it's not like a slice of life where it's like, okay, here's the scenario of the week. Like, it's not totally episodic. It's a serialized story. So, you know, events that happened in the last volume will be referenced in the next volume. So it's not like that. It's not like a problem of the week type of thing. It's a continuous thing. So I'm curious. You know, these girls are in their latter years of high school. So I'm curious to see them grow up. And if they do grow up, I mean, who knows? There is a possibility. The thing is, like, this is a very, very lighthearted story. But at the same time, there is a possibility for these characters to die. Like, and I do not put it past Asano. Like, he's known for stuff like that. So I'm not putting it past Asano. Like, he's messed with my heart many, many a time. So one thing to note about Asano is his art. And he has this very extremely detailed art. It's almost photorealistic. And that's actually not so much in his character designs, though those are very detailed as well. And I love how he, like, changes his character's clothing and stuff like that. So they're not wearing, it's not like certain manga where they're always wearing the same outfit because it's just easier to draw. Like, he doesn't take shortcuts like that. If anything, he makes more work for himself because he tries to do things unconventionally. He has, like, a mix of digital and analog techniques that just give off this very Asano feel. Like, if you see a page of his manga, if you know Asano's works, you will immediately recognize his character designs. You will immediately recognize his photorealistic backgrounds. And this is not so much a podcast on Asano, but I feel like it's important to get into this, and hopefully I don't go too long. But his process is actually really interesting. So for, like, his past works, they had a more digital feel because he would take pictures of what he does is take pictures of locations around his area in Japan. And he starts, I believe he said that he starts with the location, and then he basically fiddles around with the picture in Photoshop and, you know, and then adding his own touches via analog, you know, drawing, traditional drawing, adding his own details, and then putting in his characters and stuff into those photos. So when he has, like, you'll notice it's mostly, like, in foliage. Like, there's no way he would draw tree leaves to that level of detail. It would just take too long. So he takes, like, these pictures of trees or pictures of, like, bushes and stuff in the background, or grass, you'll notice. And he might add some, like, texturing and stuff. But for the most part, those come from a photo. And he's been getting a lot better. This is a technique he's been developing for years. He's been getting a lot better at developing it and making it look less digital. If you notice in Goodnight Poon Poon, it's very clean. It has a more digital feel. And Dead Demon's Destruction, he's definitely evolved that technique to make it look more analog, even though he's still blending that digital technique with this analog technique. It's kind of hard to explain, and I'll get into this later with my parting gift for my recommendation for this week. But yeah, there's definitely a neat interview online available if you guys want to check into that. And I think it does, it goes mostly into Dead Demon's Destruction, which is pretty cool. Like, you'll see some panels from it and, like, his artistic process. It's really interesting. He is one of my favorite mangaka, and he's young, and so I'm so excited. As long as he keeps in good health, I'm so excited to see what he does after this, or what he does with this series. Again, there's not like a huge, like, selling point besides, like, maybe, like, his art and his characters. Like, that's what he's known for. So for this series, there's not a huge selling point, like, plot wise. Like, it's interesting because it's this slice of life, but again, there's this really weird sci-fi stuff going on behind the scenes. And the stakes, there have been, like, stakes, like, there, you know, there have been civilian casualties and stuff like that, but it's weird. The tone is for the most part, lighthearted. But it's not making jokes of the people that are dying or anything like that. It's not taking that lighthearted. It's just like the setting. I don't know how to explain it, but he bounces it really well. It's not this tonal like clash or shift or whatever. Another thing to note is like his characters they're very detailed here, but he takes more liberties with like their facial expressions in this series. So he's known for drawing some kind of wacky looking characters, and like even in some of his previous series, like Goodnight Poon Poon, Poon Poon's whole family is represented as like these bird shaped people, but everyone else is like super realistic. It's really cool. The idea is really cool. But then you would see some characters that would just like have these funky looking faces. Like, just, it's not like most manga where most of the characters look attractive. Like some of these characters look like flat out ugly. and it's the same case in Dead Demon's Destruction. The girls are for the most part pretty cute, but like some of the adults just look so stupid. It's kind of funny, like just seeing some of the faces that Asano draws. And that's because he really likes to draw. His heart was always towards like gag manga, I think he revealed in some interviews. And he's kind of like a victim of his own success, I guess. Like, and also like of his own like OCD. Like for him, it's all about the details. I don't think he would be satisfied with, even though as much as he says he wants to draw gag manga, I don't think he would be satisfied with just sticking to gag manga. Like, I feel like his whole shtick is like the details, 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 details. Like, he draws as detailed as possible and then some. Like, that's how he is. Like, his art is just insane. It's awesome. It's really amazing. Like, it's just dropping when you see some, especially the two-page spreads of like just some of the cityscapes and stuff that he goes into. It's just amazing. But yeah, I've really rambled on, but I think it's all been pretty relevant. I hope you got something out of this. I feel like I didn't touch on the manga itself so much more than I did the actual, you know, artist and writer, Asano. But his manga series all share very similar theme, not similar themes, I don't want to, yeah, actually, yeah, that's true, similar themes. Like, it's always like this kind of like a character, like I said, character study, but also like there's like always like this end of the world type theme that Asano likes to get into, and this one's no different. Like, this alien mothership could spell doom for everyone in the country of Japan, but it just hasn't gotten to that point yet, and I don't know if it will or will not, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm only, again, 3 volumes in. The fourth volume is going to be published in English in January of next year. Yeah, so check that out. Dead Demons, Destruction. So I guess I should get into my parting gift for this week. So I did allude to this earlier, but I definitely encourage you check out, there's this series, it's a mangaka interview series done by a very popular, prolific mangaka named Naoki Urasawa. And he's known for writing series such as Monster, 20th Century Boys, Pluto, very, very well-regarded, well-renowned series. And unfortunately, I would love to cover some of the series in the future, but I think like all of his series are only available in print. And that's probably has to do something with him. I don't know. Probably like piracy concerns and stuff like that. Some artists just don't like their works available in print. And unfortunately, if that's their wish, then there's not much like publishers like Viz and such can do about it, unfortunately. But yeah, so he conducts like a mangaka interview series. And one of his episodes focused on Asano Ino around the time that he was starting to write Dead Demons, Dead Destruction. And so you'll see some spreads from there. You'll see his artistic process. It's really, really interesting. He does things differently than most mangaka. So I definitely highly encourage you to check that out. The series is called Manben, and that's Manben. And there's no, like, I guess, technically legal way. It's, you'll have to find it like on Vimeo or something or YouTube. There are episodes of the series available online with subtitles, which is pretty neat. Somebody went through the work of subtitling them. You might not be able to find all of them, all the episodes, but you'll definitely be able to find the Asano one that's easily, readily available on YouTube, I believe. So definitely check that out. So that's the parting gift for this week. And then for the series that I'll be covering next week, I think I'm going to dip back into Shonen. So apologies if you're not a huge fan of that demographic of manga, but I wanted to do something a little different though. So this is not a Shonen Jump property, but it is a Shonen series technically. It's written by Hiro Mashima, and it's not Fairy Tail. If you recognize that name, it's not going to be Fairy Tail, but it is going to be the successor to Fairy Tail, or you know, his next series, Eden Zero. And that's kind of, it's funny because that's kind of sticking along with the sci-fi theme. It's a little, whereas Fairy Tail was more fantasy, this is definitely more sci-fi. So right now, Eden Zero, I believe it has one volume compiled Wild published, I'm not sure, I forgot who publishes it or who licensed it, but there is one volume available in English. But it's also a Crunchyroll simulpub series. So if you have a subscription to Crunchyroll, I think it's the second tier, I can't remember, but if you have Crunchyroll Premium, you should have access to the manga available on the website, or, you know, download the manga app for your phone. And Eden Zero is currently, I believe, like 16 chapters are available in English via the Crunchyroll manga app. But I won't go into too many details beyond the first volume if you're the type of person that only is going to buy the you know, the compiled volumes, or if you don't have like a Crunchyroll subscription, that's totally fine. But yeah, so I'll be covering Eden Zero by Hiro Mashima, and yeah, so look forward to that. And I think that'll call it for this episode. I apologies if it went on very long. I'm looking at the time here. Yeah, 26 minutes. So, well, I did say, you know, from anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes. So this is definitely still within that range. And by the time I edit it down, it should go a little lower. But yeah, thank you for your patience. And yeah, and again, apologies for the audio quality of last episode. Unfortunately, like, if my dog starts barking in the background, there's only so much I could do to edit that out. I can try to like decrease her volume while, but if like she's barking while I'm talking, then it's just, it is what it is. I can't do much besides like re-record the audio, which I'm trying to avoid doing. All right. Anyways, yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next week. Bye.